The Bible said, whoever you curse will be cursed. Whoever you bless will be blessed. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. Isn't that right? We have the power to turn a person over to the devil. How do you know that? That's true. We have the power to do that. Now, but there's no delight in the heart of a minister to do a thing like that. That's why the Bible said, seeing that he is the minister of God. Seeing that he is the minister of God, will you not be afraid? Somebody said, well, I ain't afraid of the preacher. I'm not asking you to be afraid. That's not the point. I want you to love me, not be afraid of me. But the Bible said, seeing that he is the minister of God, will you not be afraid? God's the one that told you that. I didn't. That's what he said. Seeing that he is the minister of God, will you not be afraid, seeing that he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil? Then be afraid for conscience' sake, the Bible said. So what the Lord is telling is that you should have a reverence and a fear. That man is set there as your Savior. He is put there to save you from your sins. God said, I will raise up saviors that are to save you from your sin. Know that if you convert a soul, you have saved a soul from hell. Did you know that if you talk to a man and you've converted him, you've converted his way of thinking, did you know that you saved his soul? You say, well, the Lord Jesus saved the soul. The Lord Jesus paid the price so the soul could be saved. Say, but you can't save folks, but that's where you're wrong. See, you can do more than that. Not only can the preacher save you, but the Bible said you save yourself. You can save yourself. Save yourself from this underworld generation, Peter said. In other words, it's something for you to do, something for me to do, something for Christ to do. Christ did his. Now I stand in his stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled to Christ. So then, we are here to try to help you. Now I know you have but one Savior. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one ever spilt his blood for you. I realize that. But see, God has sinners. Said, I will bring saviors up upon the mountain, that they will come among you. Every time Israel done wrong, every time Israel got in trouble, what did God do? He raised them up a savior. Isn't that in the Bible? Said, every time he done wrong, he raised them up a savior so that they could go in there and deliver Israel and bring them out. Now, he said, I'll bring saviors in the plural. God wants to use you as a savior. Some of you out there can be used as saviors. There's people dying. The Bible said that we should hate the garments that are spotted with sin. Hate them and just reach down, he said, pulling them out of the fire. Wouldn't you like to just pull somebody out of the fire? You pull them out of the fire. You got the power to do that. You pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them people. Now, I want to talk with you just a few minutes, and I'm not going to try to preach to you tonight, you know. And tonight, if you... Let me tell you this. Well, like I said, I don't want to scold you when I get up here. I try to go easy with you, but this is the place of correction. If you don't want to hear what I got to say, and if you feel like that you just can't wait, that it's not interesting to you, it's too long, why don't you ease out? See, why don't you be a real brother or sister and just get up and ease on out? I won't lambast you. I won't say anything about you. I won't find fault with you. Just ease on out. See, now you say, well, wouldn't you say something about it? No, because I'm telling you to do it. But now if you ease out and I don't tell you to do it, I'll make you a public show before the people. I'll say something about it, but I'm telling you to do it. I'm giving you the opportunity to do it. If you don't want to sit in, you don't want to listen. But see, don't sit there on the bench when I'm trying to expound the gospel or trying to tell the people about Jesus, and then sit there knowing that you're not interested, knowing that you don't want to hear it, and just sit there and interfere with the service. Don't do that. Whatever you do, see, get up, ease out, and not bother anybody, and nobody will care. They'd rather you'd stay, but nobody will care as far as it bothers. See, because there's some people that want to hear the word of God. There's people that want to know what's going on. The Bible said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge, and that's certainly not worldly knowledge. So then, God is wanting to help his people. Now, I want to take just a few minutes tonight, and I'm not going to try to preach to you. I just want to bring a few things to your understanding and remembrance. Perhaps some of them you already know, and maybe it'd be no need, you know, but... Peter said, though you know these things, yet as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel to stir up your pure minds in this. Let's read just a little bit here to you. Just give me a moment or two and we find what we're looking for. And I want you to consider the things that I say because they're needful. And I'll try to make what I got to say short as I can tonight. And now I want to read just a little bit in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. I'd like to read first over in the 3rd chapter of the book of Daniel. Just read just a little bit here and talk to you for just a few minutes. The first verse of the 3rd chapter, the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriff, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship it shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sauce. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the provinces of Babylon. Turning over to chapter 12, reading just a little bit here, the heading is The Time of the End. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now I'd like to turn on over a little farther over into the book of Revelation. Chapter 12, in the 7th verse, And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. All right, now, in this, notice this last reading, And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's reading quite a bit. But if you notice in the last chapter there that I read concerning Daniel, that I spoke there in the scriptures like this. Seal it up unto the end time. Is that right? Seal up the writings unto the end time. Now, it was to be sealed up unto the end time that the writings was not to be made known until the end of the world. See, it was to be sealed up unto the end of the world. You understand what I'm saying? Daniel saw it many hundreds of years ago, but it was to be sealed up unto the end time. And then he said, Daniel, he said, in the last days, Michael, the great prince, shall stand for his people. All right, then I turned over and I read to you over in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, how that this great prince, this Michael, this great angel, stood in the 12th chapter, or will stand in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation and cast Lucifer out of the spirit into a natural world of human personification. Now, I don't have to go through all that because you know that. Without me saying it, you already understand that. But I want to bring out just a thought or two tonight, if I possibly can, and I'll try my best not to hold you long. What I want to do is just bring just a few things to your mind and to your remembrance to where you can understand what's taking place. Most of you by now already understand. Those that have listened and paid attention, you already understand what's taking place. But some of us are dull of hearing, and some of us, it takes a little bit more effort and a little bit more patience to try to get your understanding open. So then, for those that are slow of understanding, that's not been able to come into it, I want you to just look just a little bit and make a comparison. Now, I read to you where King Nebuchadnezzar set up the image in the plains of Dura. Now, when I say that, you know exactly what I'm speaking of. He set up the image in the plains of Dura. And when he set up the image, and this is what I want you to see, when he set up the image, he set it up not as a local thing. It wasn't just some little something he was doing over in the corner of the world for a government, but he set it up and said, all people, every nation, you follow me? Every nation shall worship this image, he said. He set it up in the plains of Dura, and he said, every nation shall worship this image. And every nation was ready and willing and did bow down to the image. Is that right? When the music sounded, it was a great celebration. It was a great event. Things was taking place. And when Nebuchadnezzar spoke, he was so powerful throughout the world that all the world feared him. Nobody dared to rebel against his word. Everybody shook when Nebuchadnezzar spoke. For the Bible said in one place that God said, I'll raise up my servant Nebuchadnezzar. And whoever he wants to put to death, he can put to death. And whoever he doesn't want to put to death, he doesn't have to put to death. And God raised him up, and this man stood and made an image and declared that all nations had to come under the control of it. Not just one government, but all nations was to come under the control of it. And all nations done obeisance to it. When the music sounded and the great celebration took place, then all of the nations bowed down to it and began to worship the image. But somewhere in the province, there was some boys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those fellers said, we will not worship the image. It doesn't matter what you say, Nebuchadnezzar. We will not worship the image. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, talking about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? The Bible said these were Hebrews. When this great thing was set up, when it was recommended to all nations, the Jews said, we will not do it. We've got a God of our own. And we will stand for Christ. We will stand for our God. We will not worship the image. These Jews refused to worship the image. Remember this great image that was set up? There was something unusual about this image. Because when Daniel saw the vision of this great image, this was the interpretation that God gave him of it. That the great head of gold was the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And that from that great kingdom there would spring forth numbers of other great kingdoms. And that coming on down to the upper part of that body and following the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, there would come in the Medes and the Persians. And God used the gold to represent the head because it was to be the most powerful kingdom. And that gold has the preeminence of that day, or had the preeminence. It's the finest metal there is. So then he represented Nebuchadnezzar as the head of gold. And then he showed as the years passed by in the following kingdoms that every kingdom would be less valuable as far as being esteemed as a kingdom in that he showed a metal that was inferior to the first metal. And so that it changed from gold and came on down, right on down to one metal after another, right on down to brass and right on down to iron. It came down one metal at a time until the entire thing changed down to clay. Finally, the last part of it was the metal run out altogether and it was just clay. Now, I want you to see something here. God said to Adam, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. You understand what I'm saying? Gold represents faith. But this great image stood there. The thing that was so unusual about it was in the shoulder parts as it came on down, representing there the Medes and the Persians, coming on down to the waistline and coming on down to Alexander the Great and the kingdom that was to come in. That was to be split up in the four kingdoms, and then coming on down to the legs to show there the split between the great Orthodox Church or the Eastern powers and the Western Papal Church, coming on down to finally, after this great split, then the last thing that was to come about was the 10 toes. Is that right? Now, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, it was a great outstanding image. It was a great powerful kingdom. It was a head of gold. And God, knowing that he was going to convert Nebuchadnezzar's heart over through the powers of Daniel, the visions of Daniel, and through the strength of the Hebrew children's faith, God made that a head of gold, showing the powers of superiority in the world of Babylon, to show us that the entire functioning of the thing would be the Babylonian kingdom. That from the very start of the head of gold, right on down to the very finishing of it, that it would be the Babylonian system. And so then, Babylon getting its strength, Nebuchadnezzar set up this great image, and we see the great head of gold. But when God got ready to overthrow Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, then he brought in the Medes and the Persians. He brought in the next part of the image. And as he continued on to break it down, we brought it out here in a number of tapes. We bring out the different parts of the image and what year it was in, what the dates were that we don't have time to go into tonight. But the dates of each part of the image and when it took place, bringing it down step by step to show you as it moved from the time of Babylon over onto the day that we're living in. And so then this great head of gold, we see this head of gold, and then we see the following kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, and then we see Alexander the Great with the Hellenistic religion coming in, establishing a kingdom that was short-lived and finally ended up in the four generals that he had, showing Daniel's vision of the leopard with the four wings. And then as it continued on down, you notice that it split up. All of a sudden it took a split, the leg, one leg this way, another leg this way. It had been one part of the body coming on down. But then when it got to the legs, it indicated a divided kingdom. Now, in this divided kingdom, we brought it out about 364 A.D. when the thing broke up. We brought out how that the kingdom divided and the Western Papal Church went one way, and this great government of the United States was established from that papal government, which is a Catholic doctrine. The Eastern powers of the Orthodox Church and the Eastern side of it is Jerusalem and that part of the world. One part of it went one way. The other part went another way. And that happened back during the Dark Age, coming on over. As it happened during that period of time,
We see the dividing of it. But then the legs were to continue until they came to the feet, which was to come about in your time and in my time. The image was to extend all the way from Daniel in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, all down through the centuries, as one kingdom after another kingdom, until this day in which we live. Then when it came to this day, it was to present the feet, which was to show in this age the developing of the feet, which was the 10 toes. If you remember, the scripture said, in the days of the 10 toes, he said, Daniel, seal up the vision. You can see the head of the image. Here it is in your day. But yet, Daniel, this image is going to reach all the way over to Brother Pike's day. And over in that day, it will still be your vision, Daniel. Over in John's day, when he saw the revelation that was to be open in the end time that we're living in, that this great vision that you have, Daniel, is to extend over into the latter times, over into the last days. And when this great image is completed, it will be in the days of Brother Pike. It will be in the days of Brother Taylor. It will be in the days of Little Bethlehem. When finally, at last, there shall be a stone hewn out of the mountain that shall come rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. For this image was set up, and it said, every nation must worship this image. Every nation shall bow down to this image. But then we see the Hebrew children representing the Jews of our day rebelling. We see Daniel representing the church of our day. Daniel, who did not serve the image, who refused to obey the ordinances of the king and went into the lion's den because he refused to obey those that have the rule in that time. In this day, we see the 10 toes. Now, the last part was to be the kingdom of confederation. It was to be a united effort. We see the 10 common markets springing up. We know that this has to do with the 10 toes. A lot of spiritual revelation is connected with this that we're not going to try to get into tonight. We preached it. We've got it on tape somewhere. And you understand it. We're going to try to stay with the natural side of it tonight to where you can see it in your intellect and understand what we're saying. In this day, the 10 toes was to come about. The 10 confederation of nations. Sister Betty and I, just a few months ago, along with some of you that are sitting here, was over in Europe and went by the Common Market building over there where the great machine is set up there that's called the Beast, with these 10 nations headquarters around them to show the horns and the power. Remember, the Bible said that these nations or these 10 powers or these 10 horns would give their strength unto the beast, be subject to that headship. The Bible said those 10 horns were 10 kings or kingdoms that would be subject to that great power, for God had put it within their heart to be subject unto him for a time that God had appointed. After that, said that these 10 nations shall burn the beast's flesh with fire. Is that right? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if that beast is a computer, I'd like for you to tell me how that they're going to burn his flesh with fire. Because God speaks of the flesh as those that are membership of the body that will be subject to that numerical order. That is the flesh that God promised to burn with fire. With the bums, with the bumming, and with the dreadful thing that he promised to bring upon it. Now, the 10 toes reaching over in our day. I said that the government would move from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia, whereas when we said it it seemed like a crazy thing for anybody to say. Because at that time there was no indication that Kissinger had never come to Atlanta. Atlanta was just a nothing and a nobody, so to speak. And nobody even thought about politics in Atlanta, Georgia. There was nothing in the papers that I know of that indicated it. But God showed that it would have to come to Atlanta, Georgia, because the 10 toes is to raise up in a place to where that there is going to be a little stone hewed out. And I said that stone was to be represented by Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. It's the biggest stone in the Western Hemisphere. It represents the man-child, which is the stone, not to be born out of the east, but to be born typically out of the west. For the west is the woman that gives birth to it. And so then, this stone that was to come up shows that the little stone is to be hewed out of the mountain, not with hand. It has to be something that is coming about that no man will instigate. It can't be a denominational thing. If it comes out of the denominational churches, then God's word is broken, because it said in that day it shall be hewed out without hands. There won't be any hands. There won't be any learning. There won't be any education. There won't be any going to college. It has to be a spiritual revelation from God. It is hewed out of the mount of God. And it is to be a knowledge of God that is to grow until it conquers the entire universe. Not just the world, but the stars will do opposites to it. The heavens will do opposites to it. When Joshua spoke to the sun did opposites to it. When Joseph saw it, the stars bowed down to it. It is the mind of God that which is to conquer the entire world. In the days of the image, notice one thing. The image in the toes or the feet was to be a constitution of clay and of iron. You notice that? In the feet, in the final image, that is to say, in a world government. In a world government, it was to be constituted as a Catholic government and as a communistic government. It has to come together both as communist and Catholicism. It's got to come together because the clay represents the bodily part in the coming of the resurrection. It has to come together in the clay and the iron. This is the hour that we're living in. That's why Kissinger is going to the plains of Durham. Because in the plains of Durham, here in Atlanta, Georgia, they have learned that those plains of Durham, that the name was taken from the same chapter that I read to you from tonight, that it was taken from the Bible, and that's where it got its name. And God, knowing that he was going to place little Bethlehem here, knowing he was going to put that stone in Atlanta, knowing that God was going to raise up from this area the world government, then God put the plains of Dura there that the image might be relative in the eyes of the people to where it started back yonder in the days of Babylon. Atlanta is a modern Babylon, an international place of folly. She is becoming an international gateway to the world, and Jimmy Carter has changed the government from Washington over to Atlanta, Georgia, and the World Congress building that we spoke of on the very night that Jimmy was elected in, 25,000 people or something to this sort was found with Jimmy there at the World Congress building, which indicated the new government starting in. Jimmy informed the people that he would not reside in the White House as far as carrying on his business. He said, I am a country boy. He said, I like the country. I like the plains of Dura. And much of my business will be negotiated in the plains of Dura. Now, his wife, I made the statement. I said, she, being the first lady at this time with Jimmy, representing in types the man-child being caught up to riches and to the throne from a little old peanut field, that his wife represented the church which was to be caught up with Jimmy. I said, just watch her. I said, she's a woman from across the tracks. Even Jimmy's people didn't want him to marry her. And I said, she'll be different from the others. And sure enough, I got word the other day that she's about to drive these people, these stylists, and these people that fix up the first lady, is about to drive them wild. Said they don't know what to do with her. Said they made the statement, said she doesn't fit their program and all the things that they want to do to her. Now, she also understands, has informed Jimmy that what she would do with the White House if she got up there, and that she wasn't planning to stay in the place, from what little I can learn. Now, I want you to know that Kissinger going to the plains of Dura is for a specific purpose concerning spiritual things at this time. Kissinger came to Atlanta, Georgia, and after that we predicted a change and set up a communication with the foreign nations. And the nations come in and communicated with him there in Atlanta, Georgia, which officially meant that they had changed the government from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia, even then. Because never before had that been done. And then I said, the thing that will top it off is that the little White House will represent the government being set up here in the state of Georgia. And so then the president coming up out of it, now then, here Kissinger, which had been rejected by the Jews, and I want you to get this tonight, Kissinger being rejected by the Jews. Now notice this. Just as quick as Jimmy Carter went up into the government, at the same time, there was a publication in the paper that said the Jews had called a judgment, the American Jews now, had called a judgment, set up their judgment board. You remember when I preached about the thing I did here a while back and said it had to do with the judgment? They set up the very same thing, called it the same thing, and said it was a judgment, and executed Kissinger. Because when the man-child went up, then the red dragon went out. And Kissinger was the betrayer and is the betrayer that represents communist powers and is praised of the Arabs, which is the bonds child, and is praised of that which represents the clay, which is the communistic powers. Now, in this, the ten toes, I made the statement that Jimmy would want to change the government. And that he would seek to change the government and would change the government. And that he would make it into a monarch. And that it would be a world power. I made the statement. I said, Nixon, I believe it was, when he went to Jerusalem, I said that'll be the end of Nixon. And then there'll be a monarch that'll come in. That will be a kingship. And that will be your last president. And then, all of a sudden, here comes in Ford, nobody elects him in. He stood up and boldly cursed and said, nobody didn't put me in and nobody can't take me out. And then when we checked his name, I and my wife both checked his name, went back and checked, and his name was not Ford. Speaking of Ford, rather. Not Ford, but his name was King. Which showed that a monarch had come in. And now here comes Jimmy in behind him. And Jimmy realizes a monarch has come in. And now he seeks to change the federal government to where there will be no more presidency, but to get control of the world. Not only that, but you watch. He's going to seek to change the times and the seasons. Holidays and different things are going to be affected. You watch what I'm telling you. Because the Bible said when Antichrist comes in, or the system starts moving in, that he's going to make craft to prosper. And he's going through this numerical order system. He's going to eliminate things, set things up, and make it to prosper. He's already told how he had a great plan for prosperity in putting people to work. Are you listening? All right, now, in that Kissinger has gone over to the plains of Dura, it is evident that this Kissinger, which has been excommunicated from the Jews, in that Jerusalem represents heaven, cast out of heaven, can never go back into Jerusalem anymore or be a part of the Jewish affiliation. Can't be, because he broke the covenant. Remember, said he will confirm the covenant and then he will break the covenant. What did he do? The Jews said that he broke our covenant. God gave us a covenant and said you can't eat swine meat and these different things. And Kissinger stood by it, but he broke it. Now, Kissinger knows he has no power over the Jews. He knows that he has no power in the White House. His power is with the foreign country. But he understands that he can work with Jimmy Carter and bring about a world government, and he will have a place, because Jimmy can't do what Kissinger can do. And Kissinger can't do what Jimmy can do. So then the iron and the clay has to come together. In the United States of America, Kissinger is finished. In Jerusalem, Kissinger is finished. Why? Because America is Joseph and Israel is Benjamin, and they are the two brothers. Not half brothers, but they are true brothers. But the other powers and nations of the world represents the 10 half-brothers. Now you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pye? I mean that in America there is a spiritual Jew, which is a true Jew. In Jerusalem there is a natural Jew, which Paul said no natural Jew. But in that they are represented as such, they are truly God's people. For God said the whole house of Israel shall be saved. So they are spiritually Christians by foreordination or predestination. But the world out there is a religious people that doesn't have God, and they are a half-brother, in that this nation and Israel represents the elect and the celestial seed of God. They represent a natural world in a natural side, a natural bonds child with a natural government, which means they've got half of God's covenant or half of God's program, but they don't have the spiritual benefits of it. They're only half brothers. But the spiritual Jew of America, religious America, as to what is left over in truth and that which is in Jerusalem, are brothers, true brothers. Now, Kissinger coming to the plains of Dura, it is evident that this image of Nebuchadnezzar has reached on down to our day. The legs have been split up, and here is part of it over here in the Western world, and here is part of it over here in the Eastern world, and these confederated powers are seeking to come together. Jimmy Carter, to consolidate his kingdom, to strengthen the things that he wants, he's got to work through Kissinger. He's got to work through the foreign nations, because he's got to have some great power of headship. The thing that I feel is going to cause him to bomb the United States, according to what Brother Branham saw in the coming of destruction, is going to be the very fact that they stir Kissinger up and the foreign policies and powers in trying to pull some kind of shady deal in a confederation that will give them in this part of the nation or world the preeminence, and the preeminence over on that side. I made the statement here recently, When they started talking about oil shortage, I said there ain't no oil shortage. When they started talking about the automobiles like they was, I'll have to get rid of your big car because of gasoline. I said that's just something that the powers of communists has got up to throw a scare into the people, to cause the foreign trade from that country to come in here and cause America to lose out to the foreign trades of the common market over yonder. Buying those little cars automatically cause you to have to get parts from the foreign country and gives them the preeminence over you. Now then, to compete with it, the American people have cut the wheelbase on their big automobile. Somebody said they had to cut them because of gasoline. That's not what it is. They realized that they were losing out in America to the foreign powers, and they cut them wheelbase back that they might bring that car down to a smaller car and get that foreign trade back to keep from having to go bankrupt. And it worked. Because they say there's hundreds and thousands of little cars everywhere and they can't even sell them now that the people are going back to the bigger cars. Whereas that car is more or less a medium car. Now, let me say this a little more here and I'm going to close because I promise not to hold you very long. Notice this, that the plains of Dura here in Atlanta, Georgia, the image was to be erected and all nations was to serve it. Whereas with the use of Jimmy Carter and the use of Kissinger, in a constituted effort, clay and iron coming together, both of them as deceitful as they can be, one is working a religious thing to get control of the world, the other is working it from a different perspective altogether in a communistic thing, and coming together to try to put it together. It will never mix. Communism and religion will never mix. Especially Catholic religion. Because communists hate Catholic priests and have been known to bury them alive. Have you remember when I made that prediction that the leader of the communist country would come over and have a conference with the Pope? And at that time he did. So then, knowing that Catholicism is not a religion, but a government, in that they believe in church over state. Now, we are Protestant people. We believe in church under the state. The state has control over the church. They can tax it. They can do anything they want to, but not the Catholic people. The Catholic believe in church over state. That means that they've got control of the government. And, of course, if they have control of the government, then that means they got control of the world. Because through the government, they are going to get control of all of the land, make you pay taxes on everything. And when the government has completely got control of everything, then the Catholic people will be in control of the world. Because they believe in church over government. So then, in this image coming up in the plains of Dura, I want you to see something here. Every nation was to serve it. That means that Jimmy is changing the federal government that he might make it a world government from the World Congress building in Atlanta, Georgia, to erect the image from the plains of Dura, which is the Babylonian system, which goes back to Catholics. Catholicism, we got it on tape, but we brought it out, how that it got to be Catholicism, coming on over to America, which is spiritual Babylon, coming right on in. The power of Catholicism, the great image, all of the nations must worship it. In the Dark Age, the Catholic power had rule over the greater part of the world. This time, they're going to try to have rule over the entirety of the world. And the Bible said that everyone's names who were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world shall worship the image or the beast. In this great image had power to speak. You know, we've related already how that this great machine that's called the beast, it can talk already. We've told you about it. It just tells people that something's wrong with it, where the problem is, and what they have to do to fix it. The thing is over in the foreign nation. But Jimmy is working for world control through that system in Atlanta, Georgia. And there's people in Atlanta to bring it to pass, because we talked to the authorities in Europe and they told us who was here in the areas of the United States that was carrying on that concerning that beastly part. Now, I want you to notice this. Now, I'm going to let you go. Just hold on just a little bit here now. All right, now, in this, in the plains of Dura, Kissinger is supposed to be there tomorrow morning. Tell me something. Why is he going to the plains of Dura? After the judgment, the excommunication out of heaven as we saw it, at the same time, Revelation 12 and the woman's feet was on the moon, as we told you in the book of Revelation. John said at the excommunication of Satan, the woman was with her feet on the moon. We brought it out how that the woman with her feet on the moon, which is America, at that time would bring forth her man-child. That would be the great Catholic power, which is Jimmy Carter coming in, which is another Kennedy. And the Bible said a bastard child can't enter into the congregation of the righteous for about 13 to 15 generations. Now, in that, Jimmy, as far as we know, is a bastard child. When the papers give the write-up concerning his mother, they did not say Miss Riz, they said Miss. Now, in this, with the image being set up, the man-child coming forth, then Kissinger, the red dragon, communist head and leadership, cast out of Jerusalem. They rejected it. Though he made the covenant with them, it was established, everything seemed well, but he broke it and they rejected him, and out went Lucifer. Is that right? Why did all of that happen at that particular time when the feet is on the moon? And just at this particular time, he turns to the plains of Dura, because Revelation 12 states that when he went out of heaven, then there was a personification of Satan in the earth. Is that right? And said he was filled with great wrath. That's Kissinger. See, Kissinger is a religious man. Knowing the Jews have rejected him, he called them stupid names. He's angry. He's filled with wrath. Now, why did he turn to the plains of Dura for the image to come up right at the time of the expulsion? Why did he do that? Why is it that the man-child being caught up to the government powers in Washington, the throne? Why is he going up at this time? Kissinger coming out in the personification. Why is it everything is happening together? That right at this time, my children came back together. And the song that we are publishing is concerning his presence. And we said it represented the rapture of the church and the catching away and the sealing in. Because in Revelation 12, when Lucifer went out, then the bride was sealed in. Why is it here in Atlanta, Georgia, where we spoke of the stone that was one dime traded for a shotgun, an old mule considered worthless? Why did it happen here to where that stone has become one of the most famous in the world? Because they put some kind of a frolic on the top of it, and it's grown till it's filled all the earth in its popularity. Why is it that a worthless stone, a rejected stone that was no good, that represented Jesus, why has it sprang up in the Western world all of a sudden? Why is it that we've got what we call Six Flags in Atlanta, Georgia, that indicates an international gathering of nations coming together here in this particular place? Now, in the plains of Dura, the image setting up in the last perspective of it in the 10 toes, clay and iron will not mix. Jimmy Carter is going to rule with a rod of iron. He is trying his best to get them to let him change the government to where he can get control, and when he gets control, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Why is it if he's not interested in having the supreme control? Why is it that when they ask him the question, who is going to be your chief of staff? He answered them and said, there will be no chief of staff. Since when has the American government ever set up anything where they did not have a chief of staff? But when Jimmy was asked, who is your chief of staff? He said, there will be no chief of staff. Now, you know that means Jimmy will be the chief of staff. If there's no chief of staff, then Jimmy's automatically chief of staff. Which means that it gives him another controlling power and keeps people, as we use the terms, out of his hair. So then, a lot of things I'd like to say tonight, but some of you don't have enough interest, but many of you have great interest. And I'm going to try to cut off here right quick now for them, the sake of them that don't have any interest. But folks, this day is to come upon the world unaware. What I am telling you, what I'm explaining to you, what I'm preaching to you, what I'm fitting together with all of these things and have for a number of years, many people know nothing of. And these things that we have preached here, I've already found out in the last 20-something years of our ministry that they've got into the hearts of men all over the nation everywhere. And many of them are preaching some of the very things that we preached, and it came through this ministry. I've checked it out and found out it come through it. Now, here's the thing. This has opened up to where we can see, because we are not children of darkness, but we are children of light. And that day is not to come upon us unaware. We are to know when these things take place. Why should we know? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I'm predestinated, it don't make any difference if I know or not. If I'm predestinated, I'm going to heaven. But that isn't what the Bible teaches. It said ye would know when these things were coming to pass. What profit is it in me knowing? If I'm predestinated and don't have to worry, why should I know? But folks, there's something to it that I've got to do. I need to know, and God's going to let me know. And everyone that will give themselves to Christ, God's going to let them know. But you go out yonder, and you tell the world what I'm talking about. You try to make the world believe that these things have come to pass that we're speaking of, and see if they don't feel like you're a bunch of fanatics. And if we ever press the issue, see, if they don't take us and exile us over in some place like they did John on the Isle of Patmos. They think we're beside ourselves. But it is a true fact that the plains of Dura are right up here in Atlanta, Georgia, taken out of the Bible, the same place of the image. It is true the Jews will reject it. They've proven that by Kissinger, when Kissinger was going to organize a world power from here in Atlanta, Georgia. From Atlanta, Georgia, I made the statement. I said, Kissinger will seek a world power, but he will lay the foundation for Antichrist. Isn't it right? Now here they come together. What is Kissinger doing at the plains of Dura? Come on, folks. Didn't Jimmy make the statement that if I get in, Kissinger goes out? The casting out of the red dragon, isn't that right? Well, what in the world is Kissinger doing over there around Jimmy if they're such bitter enemies? Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. It's like the old saying, in the gambling game, he's got an ace in the hole. He knows that Jimmy can't handle this thing by himself because he's got the world influence over yonder. And he knows that Jimmy's going to have need for him. And he knows he doesn't have any part in America and with the Jews, except he works through Jimmy, and he's going to try to use Jimmy while Jimmy tries to use him. Linking up together in a world confederation, Kissinger can sit there and say, Jimmy Carter, I can pull the strings on the other end. You're changing the government over here. You pull them on this end. We can make a constitution and put it together right here, and Jimmy will have control of the world. What president wouldn't do that? What man wouldn't do that as a natural man? But clay and iron won't mix. Rome, religion, communism won't mix, because communism is a government. It believes in ruling over the state. Catholicism is a government. It believes in ruling over communism, the state. So it isn't going to work. But there's one thing about it, folks. As this song says,
You're nearer home than you was yesterday. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight, but you've been patient to hear me and what I have said, because it's young people's night. We took quite a bit of time in the beginning. So many things I'd like to say tonight to tie some things together here to where you could see positively. But I believe in the things that I have said, in seeing the extended thing of Daniel's vision in the image, even over in the plains of Dura in our day. I believe that you can understand Daniel's vision and understand what I'm trying to tell you, that it has come to pass the way that we said it would come to pass, the way that God predicted and prophesied through the prophets it would come to pass. And here it is, has already come to pass, and there it is sitting before you like a puzzle that's put together right out there in your presence. You can see it. There's no way to doubt it. The woman on the moon and the image and everything right around you, to where you can tell that the church has been sealed in by God. Brother Branham said this thing will move right through your midst and you'll never see it. You kept looking for some great signs and some great happenings and some outstanding thing that was supposed to take place when the Brother Branham, being a prophet of God, told you himself through the preaching that he preached. He said it will be something that you won't see, that it'll move right through you and you won't see it. And that's what it's done. It's moved right through, and some of you have not seen it even till yet. I want you to stand with me. I love you, and I appreciate you. I scold you as a father would his children, to try to help you, to lead you, to snap you to attention, to make you understand. Because we're dull of hearing and we have a tendency to lean to the weakness of the flesh and the weakness of our carnal mind. And we get a little oppression that comes from the carnal mind and demon powers. And we just don't want to listen. We can't absorb. We get restless. We don't want to be part of anything that's strenuous. So you got to use a little effort in, you know. And we pull away from it and we fall into the snare of Satan. That's why we ought to be people of perseverance. Did you know the Jews would never have fell into the snares of the devil if God had not blinded them? Never. They're people of courage and strength and perseverance, not lazy. Work people that'll do anything to please God. You watch when God opens their eyes and brings the light back to them. If you think America knows how to serve God, you wait till God opens those Jews' eyes. They'll spill their blood for the testimony of Christ. They'll rule the world. They don't just believe in being, you know, as we call spiritual, but they believe in taking the natural world and setting the natural things up for God and making everybody obey God. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. I hope that you can understand and see that this thing is at an end. That it's at an end. That if Jimmy Carter changes the federal government, then that means that, as the old saying goes, we've had it. If he ever, Brother Lyman, fixes it to where he's got a supreme control, what are you going to do? Through that, working for world power and world conquest, that does it. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pye? I mean, the Bible said that he'll change the times and the seasons when Antichrist comes in. And this is the system of Antichrist right in the plains of Dura that you see in Atlanta, Georgia. It's right there. Now, isn't Jimmy typical of that stone? Any typical? I mean, where did he ever study to be a president? The Bible said he'd just be hewed out of the mountain. Not with hands. Nobody put Jimmy Carter in office. He was a nobody and a nothing. He made the statement in the paper himself. Said a few months ago, I was a nobody and a nothing. Said, now all of you fighting me. Where did he come from? Just God picked him up, said that little stone will be taken out. To show that government coming in. See, the Catholic government is the natural type of the real spiritual thing. And with that government coming in, why should we be afraid or worried? Is the Bible, it makes a statement. It said, who shall make war with him? If he and Kissinger combines this thing and have the 10 toes working with them, they've got 10 kingdoms that's confederated with them, and they've got control in America, the United Nations, who's going to make war? Any little nation would be scared to make war. Nobody would dare to come against them. Whether they joined the pack or not, they'd have to agree and work under the supervision of that great government. And all the world would have to take the number. You say, what do you mean by the number? I mean that great computer system putting everything under an operational number through the means of social benefits. Putting them all under a number. Every one of them would come under a number system. All the world to where one man could handle the situation. Nobody could make war with him. There won't be but one nation that will even dare to rise up against him. That's the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation will not bow down to the image, though they set it up in the plains of Dur and command all nations to bow down to it. It'll spread like fire around the world. And they'll say, we'll put you in the fire. That's right. They can do it. Blast you off of the map with fire right out of heaven from those atom bombs. The Bible said it was heated up 7 times hotter. That's a hot fire when you get the atom bomb. The sun in that day shall be sevenfold, meaning that the 7 church ages shall come into one strength of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can see it on that seal that we made, the 7 angels on there, and then coming forth of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which had to do with my little grandbaby that we spoke of. Let's sing a little chorus together. I hope I'm not wearied you tonight. I don't come up here to weary you or just think of a lot of things to say. Take up a lot of time just talking to you. That's not my desire. It's not my ego. That's not my ambition. If I'd have gone to do that, I'd went another route to where I could have had thousands. I had a way that was already made available to where it could have been thousands of people. But that's not my desire. My desire is to find a true people, a holy people, a righteous people, a humble people, people that will work like the people I saw in that vision, whether when the long dresses and the rapture was taking place, when the rich men and all the wealthy men wanted to be part of them and get with them. That was them little folks at Bethlehem, as sure as you live. That's what God was showing me. You say you think they're the only one, Brother Pike? No, I don't think they're the only one. But I believe in my heart that if they haven't got this that we're preaching right here, that they will not go in the rapture. I believe that. It's going to take something to translate you, my brother. This is a translation from faith to faith in the chains, from knowledge to knowledge. Let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let